49er fans, game day is finally here. It's time to answer your pregame questions in a segment that we like to call Teddy Football. Here to answer your questions is the voice of the San Francisco 49ers, Ted Robinson.
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of Teddy Football. Scott Kegley here with the voice of the San Francisco 49ers, Ted Robinson. And Ted, it's not getting any easier on the schedule as the 49ers have to travel back to the Mercedes-Benz Superdome to take on a very hot New Orleans Saints team that's been putting up some impressive offensive numbers. I mean, what's the initial impressions, one, of the Saints, and then, two, just being back to New Orleans, a place the 49ers have gotten to know pretty well?
Well, that's the interesting part, Scott. And I think the good part is that for Colin Kaepernick, this will be his third game in the Superdome. Now, one of them, obviously, was not as a road player, but still, third time there. So the familiar surroundings will be there. He handled the noise in the second start he made with the 49ers last November. But as you said, this is a different Saints team, and I don't have any way to verbalize what has happened, but it's clear that Sean Payton being back has juiced that offense back. And it's, you watched them last Sunday night, I'm sure many fans did. It was scary. Their defense, which was terrible last year, really wasn't all that great even the playoff year here. When the 49ers beat them in the great game at Candlestick, their defense is playing better. Mm-hmm. And so this is, you know, yeah, this now is ranking right up there with Seattle in terms of toughest road environment to play in the NFC.
Yeah, absolutely. And tons to talk about here this week, Ted. And, of course, our 49ers faithful kind of have their finger on the pulse of everything that's topical this week. They've probably been reading all the articles and videos on 49ers.com. The first one's from Ashwin Murthy 12. Says, with Davis in non-contact at practice and Garrick Selleck's status still TBD, who do we go to at tight end? Of course, it looks like Vernon Davis, from all accounts so far, still has to go through the medical protocol. It appears he's going to play, right?
Well, Vernon seems fine. Yeah, I mean, obviously, there is a precise medical thing, and the league mandates this. Mm-hmm. So that decision will come Friday and Saturday. I think the Selleck issue is a big one, though, because really Garrett is the second blocking tight end. And we saw, even in the initial moments when Vernon went out and Selleck was out, how it impacted the red zone situation, going for a field goal rather than going on fourth and one. And with an offense that is so heavily built around those packages, tight end strong packages, extra lineman packages, that'll force the 49ers to make a personnel decision, I think. Do you elevate a tight end off the practice squad if Selleck is not able to go? That always runs into the issue that when you elevate someone off the practice squad, you then run the risk of losing them mm-hmm. when Selleck is ready to go. So it is. It's a little bit of a thing that the 49er offensive coaches and Jim Harbaugh have been working on all week, is trying to determine how we're going to maneuver with personnel, how we maneuver with game planning, and all of it depending on who's available to play.
Yeah, and those two tight end sets, so big, and they still have that open roster spot, and you kind of wonder what they're going to do there. But, you know, Adam Snyder came in, filled in a little bit at tight end. Maybe number 68 will be able to catch some passes.
Staley.
Yeah.
I remember him. High school tight end, Staley.
74, reporting eligible. Yeah, he has caught some passes here for the Niners. So on to the next question from Birdie Is Pro on Twitter. Writing in, with all four defensive backs, Carlos Rogers, Terrell Brown, Tremaine Brock, and now Eric Wright, where would Chris Culliver be if he came back right now? Very interesting question, and one that the 49ers are sure to tackle at the end of the season.
Yeah, well, Chris Culliver would play. I mean, there's no mm-hmm. question. His value to the team was evident last year. He was on the field most of the downs in the postseason against, you know, multiple wide receiver sets. He was the cover guy that the team trusted in. Yeah, I mean, assuming a full recovery for Chris from his injury, he's going to be, let's put it this way, if Chris Culliver were on the free market, he would be free for about 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. That's how fast he'd be grabbed by another team and be starting for them. So I don't think there's any issue. Now, competition's a good thing, and the names that you listed in that question, Birdie, I don't know that there's any guarantee all of them will be around next year. I think it's pretty safe to say Culliver will be.
All right, Ted, and finally, another topic that really kind of one of the biggest topics around the NFL from At Andresi writes in, says, thoughts on Crabtree's progress and availability. He's been out there in practice. Last week he was wearing a non-contact jersey. I mean, do you think how quickly do you think Crabtree gets back? And, of course, it's been exceptional to see him progressing so well and really attacking his rehab, as he told me kind of when he began this whole process.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what everyone's sort of holding back and waiting. I don't think I'll be shocked if he were to play as quickly as this weekend. The Washington Monday night game is, I would say, maybe that's more of a possibility. And then he has to be back. So, I mean, Michael is going to play against the Rams the next game at Candlestick, or he's not going to play at all this year. Mm-hmm. The deadline will be at the date of the Washington Monday night game. So I think that's the only question left is, does he play that soon? We saw last Sunday with Mario Manningham that you can get back, but without that game play, you know, there is a little bit of an acclimation. That, you know, the game's moving faster. We saw Mario with a couple of uncharacteristic balls that he didn't catch. So I think we all have to temper our expectations for Michael Crabtree's return the same way. He's not going to be able to step on the field the first game and catch 12 balls for 200 yards.
Really, no matter what happens, really admirable just what he's done to get back to this point so quickly. I don't think that can be stated enough, really. Now, Ted, enough with the boring fun football stuff. Let's talk about some fun things here in New Orleans, and in particular the food of New Orleans. Great cuisine down there. At Teddy Verndon writes in and says, any particular restaurant you guys are dining at while in New Orleans?
Well, Teddy Football will be face first at the Acme Oyster Bar. Because you understand, I can have oysters for breakfast. That is, to me, an absolutely fine thing. And New Orleans oysters, Gulf oysters are phenomenal. So, yes, that's be my place. And I'll follow Kegley somewhere and get some andouille sausage, too, because I could put andouille on cornflakes and be happy. But oysters, to me, that's my number one stop in New Orleans. How about you?
Yeah, I loved last year when we were out there at the Super Bowl, we went out as a department and went to Giacomo's, which was absolutely incredible. Angel Golson, who works in the marketing department, took us there kind of on recommendation, and I had a andouille-encrusted drum. And honestly, one of the best meals I've ever had. Of course, Mother's. You have to go to Mother's and get a poor boy sandwich. It's kind of more of a tourist stop, and we'll be a little bit away from there. But definitely made sure I got that one out of the way in previous trips.
Yeah, and the Mother's is that's the mm-hmm. standard po' boy stop. I will tell you, Kay Paul's, the famous Paul Prudhomme restaurant, is still there and still serves lunch, actually, and they do a great po' boy for lunch. And then, of course, the other's absolute must stop, as I referenced after the NFC Championship game, is Café du Monde. Mm-hmm. For the beignets, unfortunately, you have to bring the Hurricanes with you. They don't serve Hurricanes there. But the beignets, I mean, that's a one-time deal. Otherwise, yeah, you'll weigh 400 pounds. Mm-hmm. But those beignets are worth it.
Yeah, you know, you bring up a good point. As many times as I've been out to New Orleans, I haven't yet been to Café du Monde. Oh. Even when we were walking through there, we had the 49ers at Drumline, Niner Noise, going through there and doing kind of a rally. And we even stopped at Café du Monde, and I haven't been there yet. And that's definitely going to be where I'm at Saturday morning. Yes, for sure.
No, I'll be with you, Scott. We will pile up the powdered sugar, and we will charge all of this to Rob Alberino's credit card. Promise.
All right, Rob, this one's on you. Yeah. So thank you in advance if you're listening to the podcast. And Ted, thanks so much for joining me for another edition of Teddy Football.
Well, let's hope, Scott, because this was right about the same time that we were in New Orleans last year. Let's hope it's the same pleasant result.